spirit shines the spotlight on the sun, but remains in the shadow. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. Well, as we near Pentecost Sunday, it seems appropriate to spend some time focusing on the work of the Holy Spirit. And over the next 4 days, Ken will bring a series of programs on the Comforter. You know, in the early days of the New Testament church, many of the believers had not heard of the Holy Spirit. And yet, it is the Holy Spirit that Jesus said he would send to us to teach us and to enable us to hear from the Lord. The same Spirit would shine the spotlight on Jesus, but remain in the shadow. With more, here's Ken with The Coming Comforter.
Hello, everyone. It's a joy to start off this week again with you on Times of Refreshing. This week marks the run-up to what we normally call Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost means 50, and it marks 50 days after the Passover on the Jewish calendar when Jesus was also crucified. Pentecost marks the coming of the Holy Spirit in fullness to inaugurate the age of the Church and of the Spirit in which we are now living. J. Vernon McGee, who was a great Bible teacher and founder of Through the Bible Radio Broadcast and Ministry, once remarked when he was over 80 years of age, at a graduation address of the Dallas Theological Seminary, that in looking back over his many years of ministry, one thing that he would like to have preached more was on the Holy Spirit. That's a most interesting point to note from a man who had spent his whole lifetime in faithful and systematic Bible teaching. So I'm going to learn from his experience and make sure that we devote some time to this important subject of the Holy Spirit during this broadcast year. And there's no better time than to do it during this week, which is the run-up to Pentecost Sunday. The most obvious and important reason for us to understand and to know the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit more is simply because He's one of the three persons of the Godhead. This is the uniqueness of the revelation of God through the Bible. It's the Trinitarian aspect of the one God. The true God is not only one God, but one God with three distinct persons of the Godhead, the Trinity, as we usually call it. But there is a unity in this Trinity. That's the uniqueness of the revelation of God in the Bible, which is His Word, that makes it different from any other monotheistic faith that believes in one God. So there is God the Father, there is God the Son, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the second person of the Godhead, and God the Holy Spirit, who is sometimes referred to as the third person of the Godhead, but God nonetheless. This is not three gods, but three persons of the one Godhead, a unity in the Trinity. Our subject for this series is not so much the Trinity, but the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. But it's useful to mention these things so that you have the bigger and the broader picture from the beginning if you are not familiar or have even heard of the Holy Spirit. That's okay, because even the Apostle Paul found disciples when he came to Ephesus who were in a similar state. And when Paul asked them in Acts chapter 19, verse 2, they replied, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And that's precisely the reason for this series of studies, so that we have a full grasp of the full gospel to understand the fullness of the Godhead. The right place to start a study like this would be the teachings of the Lord Jesus Himself. As the time approached for Jesus to be delivered to death, He began to talk to His disciples about the coming of the Holy Spirit after His departure. In John's Gospel, we have the unique record of the last discourse of Jesus with His disciples. This is sometimes referred to as the Upper Room Discourse, because it took place in the upper room where Jesus met with His 12 disciples together for the last time and for the Last Supper. We are going to focus on the significant middle chapters of the Upper Room Discourse, which are John's Gospel chapters 14, 15, and 16. And contained within these three chapters, we find the Lord's own detailed teaching concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit on the eve of His going away, This series of four messages is called The Comforter, which is a name given by the Lord Jesus to the Holy Spirit, as we shall see later on in these chapters. And the focus of our first two messages is on the coming Comforter. And as to the timing, it's the coming Comforter at the Passover, which was approaching when Jesus would be delivered up to death. And as to focus, it will be on the person of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going to consider first. The coming Comforter at Passover, and it's on the person of the Holy Spirit. Let me deal first with the all-important aspect of the Spirit's indwelling. This is for the exaltation of Christ. The Spirit's indwelling for the exaltation of Christ. And for this, we are going to look closely in John's Gospel chapter 14, just two verses, 16 and 17, where Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper or comforter, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." Here is a name or a synonym for the Spirit, which is unique to John's Gospel. It's a name that Jesus gave to the Holy Spirit, which is found in each of these three chapters. First, in chapter 14, as we have read in verse 16, "He will give you another helper or comforter." But it's also found in verse 26 of chapter 14. "But the helper or the comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." Then in chapter 15, towards the end in verse 26, "But when the helper or comforter comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father." And then yet again in chapter 16, in verse 7, "For if I do not go away, the helper or comforter will not come to you." This synonym of the Spirit is rendered helper in the New King James Version from which I'm now reading, as well as the English Standard Version. But I'm using the word comforter for our titles, and this comes from the Old King James Version, where that word is used. And yet other words are used like counselor or advocate in various translations. Why are there so many variations for the name used by Jesus for the Holy Spirit? The reason is simply because there is no really adequate translation in our English language. For the word in the original biblical Greek, which is parakletos, which really means one who is called alongside to help. And for that reason, some have even simply coined a new word called paraclete, which is derived from the Greek parakletos. But whether it's paraclete, comforter, helper, counselor, or advocate, the essential idea is someone who is called alongside to help, so that he is always with you and beside you. The New Testament sense of the Old English word to comfort really means strengthening and not just soothing. So when we call the Holy Spirit the Comforter, He's really the strengthener. It's a strengthening word, not just a soothing word. And it's a very apt description of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to strengthen believers. But I want you to notice one thing from all these different synonyms of the Spirit. They refer to persons. Only a person can perform these roles of a counselor, an advocate, a helper, or a comforter. This is a name for the person of the Holy Spirit, not just an adjective describing His work or ministry. He is the Comforter, not just a comforting spirit. He's the Helper, not just a helpful influence. This brings up a most fundamental and important point, that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not just a power or an influence. He's a helper, not a helpline. You know how it often is when we call a helpline. More often than not, we find a pre-recorded message giving us all kinds of instructions from step 1 to 10. And at the end of it, if you're still on that line, there is this apologetic message which says, "We are sorry, all our lines are busy. Your call is important to us. Please wait and we'll attend to you shortly." And shortly can be a pretty long time. But the Holy Spirit, as a helper, is not like that. He's always on call, and He will not be busy or leave us unattended. It's more like being a personal tutor or a personal carer who is right with you all the time. It says in John 14, 16, "I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide or remain with you forever." This is the blessed privilege of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is given to us to remain or to abide forever. He doesn't just come and go, but He is with us and in us. And that is why we refer to the Holy Spirit with a personal pronoun, as He rather than it, because He's a person and not an influence or a force or a thing. Let's restore the dignity and the deity of the Holy Spirit to their proper place. In that same verse of John 14:16, I want you to take a closer look at another word. I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper. It's actually the word another. Well, the word translated another here is from the Greek word allos, which signifies another of the same kind. And this is different from another Greek word heteros, which is often translated into the English as another as well. But heteros means another of a different kind. What's the spiritual significance of these seemingly small differences? It's this. Jesus said that He will send another helper of the same kind and nature as Himself. That is to say, they both belong to the essential unity of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit that He is going to send when He leaves is not going to be another person of a different kind or a different nature. The Lord is not saying, I'm going back to my Father in heaven and I'm going to send and leave behind an authorized representative with some sort of delegated authority to act on His behalf. Well, in a sense, that may be true, but the Holy Spirit has come in His own right and person as co-equal with God, so that God, as a very present help, can be our experience today. He's another of the same kind and not of a different kind. You can compare the difference with helping yourself in a buffet to more of the same dish rather than having more from a different dish. It's more of the same, not trying something additional or new. It's a quantitative difference, not a qualitative difference. So when Jesus said He's going to send another comforter or helper, He's implying that He is the first comforter or helper and the Holy Spirit as the second, coming after Him. And both of them are distinct persons of the triune Godhead. There are two names given for the Holy Spirit here. The first, as we have seen, is Comforter or Helper, Parakletos. That refers to His role and His function as one who is called alongside to help, comfort, and to strengthen. Then we have a second name given by Jesus to the Holy Spirit, and it's the phrase Spirit of Truth. And this particularly refers to the character and the nature of the Holy Spirit in relation to His ministry. He is the Spirit of Truth. And just like the name Comforter or Helper, the name Spirit of Truth is also referred to in all these three chapters of John 14, 15, and 16. And we'll come across them by and by. But first, let us look at where it is first introduced in chapter 14, verse 17. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. The introduction of the Spirit of Truth here in chapter 14, verse 17 of John answers the question of who can receive the Holy Spirit. Where has He come to reside? Those are the implicit questions. And verse 17 tells us that the world cannot receive Him because it does not know Him. But instead, the Holy Spirit has come to reside and to live in those who know Him through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we mean by the indwelling Spirit. It comes from this verse, which says that the Holy Spirit dwells with you and will be in you. This is the glorious truth of the new covenant, which every believer in Jesus Christ is entitled and privileged to have. We have God the Father for us, as it says in Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? But we also have God with us through Jesus Christ, who is also called Emmanuel, which means exactly just that, God with us. That was literally true when He was on the earth with His disciples. But now, when Christ is exalted and enthroned on the right hand of God the Father in heaven, God is in us through the Holy Spirit, who was sent when Christ returned to heaven. can we see the wonder and the glory and the privilege of that statement. He dwells with you and will be in you. So that the lot of believers is not only to experience God for us, but God with us and God in us. The Holy Spirit was sent to make this a spiritual reality for us here and now. Jesus said in John 16:7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." So it's not a loss, it's a gain. It's not a disadvantage, it's an advantage. The new covenant function and role of the Holy Spirit is to communicate or to mediate the personal presence of the risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ to Christians and therefore to the church. The Apostle Paul testifies to this great personal inward revelation of Christ in him in Galatians chapter 1 verse 15 and 16. "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles." And he later spoke of this glorious truth in Colossians 1:27, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." That was how he was made a new man from the inside, so that he had the new nature and disposition of Christ inside him through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Lord taught his disciples to pray after the pattern prayer, "Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," which may beg the question, how is God's will in heaven to be done on the earth? It's through the ministry of the risen Christ, the Son of God in heaven, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit on the earth through the church. That's how God's will in heaven gets done on the earth. That's how vital it is to know the place and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives on this earth. God is actively at work on the earth through the Holy Spirit in the lives of Christians and in the church. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit so that we can be participants in the purposes of God on the earth. Not passive participants, but empowered by the Holy Spirit indwelling us. It is for this reason that we should not regard the Holy Spirit as just an optional extra or a booster for a higher level of spiritual life. The Holy Spirit is given to every believer as an imperative for kingdom living. If we do not have the Holy Spirit, we are not only incapable of living or working for God, but we don't really know Him. If we do not have the Holy Spirit, we are none of His. And no man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. But here is yet another characteristic of the indwelling Spirit. He exalts Christ. We find in chapter 15 of John's Gospel, the verse where the name Spirit of Truth is used, in verse 26. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." And likewise, where the Spirit of Truth is used in chapter 16, in verses 13 and 14. "However, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." So we find in both chapters 15 and 16, where the name Spirit of Truth is used, they allude to the same characteristic of the indwelling Spirit, which is to exalt Christ. When the Spirit of Truth comes, he will testify of me. He will glorify me. He will not speak on his own authority, but what he hears, he will speak. So just as the Son glorifies the Father, so the Spirit glorifies the Son. The Spirit shines the spotlight on the Son, but he himself remains in the shadow. This is the most important thing to know and to understand about the role of the Holy Spirit. He is here to glorify the risen and the ascended Lord Jesus Christ, and not himself. He does not put himself out in front or on the pedestal. So while on the one hand, there is the danger of neglecting the Holy Spirit and assigning him to the background, on the other hand, there is the opposite danger of attributing glory to him which is due to the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the role of the Holy Spirit. A.W. Tozer has a book written about the ministry of the Holy Spirit entitled, When He Is Come. And his very first chapter has this arresting title. It says, "Don't beg God for the Holy Spirit. Glorify Jesus Christ." We don't have to beg God for what He has already given to those who are born again and believe in Him. And if we want more of it, the way is to glorify Jesus Christ. May you have a refreshing day knowing God's presence with you and letting His Word reach you.
The indwelling Spirit is for the exalting of Christ. If the Holy Spirit is not in us, we are none of His. In fact, no one can say Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit enables us. Thank you for that, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I invite you to join us again tomorrow when Ken presents The Coming Comforter, Part 2. In the meantime, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you have a comment or a question for Ken. Here are several ways through which you can be in contact. You can send a text message to 9431-3813, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore, 915714. And Times of Refreshing is on Facebook. You can go there to get the latest updates, socialize with other fans of the program, and you can also leave us your views right on our Facebook page. I also invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, and there you can listen to any of the programs in our library. Also, Times of Refreshing has launched an iPhone app that will allow you to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from your iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.